Hey, everyone. It's our favorite time of the year here at The Black Effect. We're heading to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival, and we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcast festival for more details.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
This is Cut to It with Steve Smith Sr., a production of The Black Effect and iHeartRadio. I'm Steve Smith Sr.
And I'm Gerard Littlejohn.
And this is Cut to It.
Cut to it. Cut to it. Let's get down to it. Cut to it.
We ask the questions you always want to know, but no one ever asks.
Let's cut to it.
I should know it's all. If you ain't heard about it, then we're about to let you know. I should know it's all. It's all.
I don't know if you know, but there's a looming lockout happening.
Major League Baseball, right?
Major League Baseball. Yeah. And so we had a great opportunity to talk to someone who is pretty well in the know. She works for MLB Network, Alana Rizzo. Got an opportunity to ask her some questions. You asked a few questions too. I was pretty shocked how much baseball you really knew, but I also know you have your laptop up.
Never box a brother in.
Yeah. Well, I boxed you. Yeah, I apologize. Did. Let me see. I think I got a nickel for the insult. All right. But it was cool to hear her talk about baseball, hear her talk about ethnicity, the lockout. How baseball really is when you talk about Ichiro, who played 28 years of his professional career, and then former general manager of the Baltimore Ravens, but Ozzie Smith, shortstop, who used to come out and backflip and second base and backflip to come on there out on the field. I just remember as a kid, or Ricky Henderson, just all those players that really turned baseball into an exciting sport. Now baseball has changed. And all these different things that are going on. So, she gave us an opportunity to really talk about that stuff. So this is – usually we do evergreen things. But this one actually is not evergreen.
We got an ace in the hole.
This is an ace in the hole. And we both saw this as an opportunity. Meredith Carter and Brian Baltashevis.
Producer crew extraordinaire.
Yes, do a great job in helping us. And we got an opportunity. So we were able to – usually we say squeeze the lemon. Brother, we didn't squeeze no lemon. We got straight lemonade out this thing. So
we got that A1. But yeah, without further ado, we got Alana Rizzo on the Cut to It podcast with a wealth of knowledge about the game of baseball.
We're going to do this section on the talk ball. We have the advantage. You know baseball through and through. Backstage Joe knows baseball through and through.
Okay.
These two idiots over here, me.
Why are you typecasting me? I might know a little bit something about baseball.
You liar.
You never know.
Do you?
I might.
Might let's, yes or might not?
Let's get into the interview.
Shall we? All right. So we have this advantage. I've been through a lockout, work stoppage, strike, whoever, depending on who you're listening to is how it's working.
Right.
Before you talk about that, where do you believe the state of baseball is right now?
I think that baseball, actually, despite the fact that there's a work stoppage, is actually in a very healthy place.
You think so?
I do. I do think that in terms of, and you just look at the numbers in terms of merchandise and those types of things and fan interest, they're up. I have all the faith in the world that they will come to an agreement prior to spring training. I think right now no one's paying attention because of your sport, because of the NFL. And there's not supposed to be baseball right now anyway.
Correct.
If this starts creeping into spring training, when the Super Bowl is over, I believe the Super Bowl is the 13th of February.
Yes, it's
when
a,
the
it's
Super
a week
Bowl
later.
Is over, that's and there's still, you know, the weather's starting to heat up, spring training, you know, starts to get on people's minds, and there's still nothing going on, that's when I think it's going to hurt us. I do think that the union, I have a tremendous amount of faith in Tony Clark, and I have a tremendous amount of faith in Rob Manfred of the league to get this done. And I do think that the union is probably one of the best unions in all of sports.
One of the strongest unions in all of sports. Not one of the best, one of the strongest. See, the best,
agreed.
The best can get a good deal, but one of the strongest is the united front that baseball is, that football hopes, we hope and pray to be one day. And basketball is kind of literally 1B, but football and hockey, bottom feeders. We are bottom feeders in the union when it comes to players versus ownership. It's just, it is bar none, MLB has it together.
They do. They have a tremendously strong union. And again, Rob Manfred with the league has been doing labor law and negotiations for the better part of two decades. I mean, the man is very, very smart. So I do think that they will come to some sort of agreement. I hope so. Because
what happens if they don't? Let's just throw that hypothetical out there, because I have to say that is because I've been through that work stoppage and it's rough. It's rough. It is rough on players. I don't care how much money you have in the bank. When you have that thought of what you planned on receiving at that time and you don't get it, you know, it makes you a little iffy. Mm. It makes you start to squirm. It makes you look like you watched a scary movie, you went to bed, and now you have to go pee and walk across the hall. You're gonna turn on a few lights.
A lot of lights.
Exactly.
It's not, you never want to have a work stoppage. And it's not even so much, of course, it affects the players, clearly, but it also affects you know, fans. The folks in work in the concessions or in the ticket office or the people that are, you know, that really, the four of us will probably be fine if we have to go through a work stoppage because of our careers and what we've been able to accomplish and just where we're at in the stage of our lives. But not everybody is that fortunate to be able to, miss a page or whatever. I think instead of just focusing on the economics of the shortage, I think we need to, you know, also work on the game itself and, you know, picking up the pace of play. I mean, 4.5 hour baseball games, that's not getting it done, especially if you want to attract a younger audience. Kids these days don't have the attention span of a gnat.
Two minutes and 15 seconds is the most you can run on a thing. We call that snackable content. If it's not snackable content, they ain't downloading and watching it.
Pitcher needs a shot clock, like in basketball. Yeah. 24-hour shot clock.
You laughed at that snackable content. You guys have had that conversation.
That's good stuff, snackable content. Yeah. But, I mean, think about the frenzy that was the signing period before the lockout actually happened exciting that was.
Yeah.
It was so exciting. It was like the NBA signing period.
I mean, would the Rangers spend half a billion?
Half a billion dollars.
On two players?
On really two players, and then if...
Ain't going to do nothing.
Yep.
Great. But I mean, Marcus Semien, who bet on himself, talking about betting on himself, didn't get a qualifying offer from the A's, bet on himself and just parlayed it into a 7-year, $175 million deal. That is what I'm talking about.
Who do you think were some of the early winners in free agency before the lockout?
Well, for sure, Semien, for sure. I am not surprised that Seager didn't go back to L.A. Oh, I knew for a fact he wasn't
make me
going
sick
to New
again.
York.
324? Was it 324? 324 million?
He had 325. Seager,
my fault. I left that million off.
That's going to be a big.
That's going to be a big loss.
That's bigger than it's bigger than A-Rod's, because remember that A-Rod, the Rangers had the A-Rod contract many years ago.
First of all, stop with this money talk, because I am a Dodgers fan, and I was upset.
They're gonna,
think about it though.
Think about it for a hot second. You have to think about the fact that Walker Buehler is going to be a free agent soon. You're going to want to keep Walker. I love Corey Seager to death. I was his first interview when that kid got drafted a billion years ago. I love him. I love his family. North Carolina folk.
I know.
I love his family, but apart from a couple of years, he has a he has an injury history. Yeah. And no, he's a good player. He's a solid, solid player. Beautiful. I mean, like professional at bat all the time, always ready to step in the box and take a swing. But like, he has to stay healthy, right? I don't know that I'm going to pay him 11 years, $325 million when you have Trey Turner, who's not Corey Seager, but is a very, very serviceable shortstop that you can move. Trey Turner is not a second baseman. No. So you move him to short. You have him play short. He can run. He's fast as hell. And you still have to figure out what you're doing with Buehler, what you're going to do with Julio Urias. You know, I'm glad they kept Chris Taylor. Talk about a versatile player. The Dodgers are going to be, you guys, they've been to the postseason nine straight years. Like, you can't, like, they've been to the World Series 3 out of the last 6. They should have won in 17. So you got to have that, you know, I mean,
they should have won.
A tremendous amount of faith in Andrew Friedman to get it done.
They should have won in 17 because they were going to be playing the Yankees, I believe, and Ari had tickets.
They should have won in 17 because they didn't cheat.
I know, but hold on. Listen, I had tickets for them to play in New York. Had the tickets in my email.
That is why during the World Series, I wanted both teams to lose because you got the Astros who, and then the Braves who beat the Dodgers because I'm a Dodgers fan as well. So then you had the Braves who beat it. So that is one series I wanted both teams to lose.
I'm thrilled for the Braves, though. I mean, if you had to pick a team, like, I mean, Brian Snitker is lifelong. I mean, and the Hank Aaron connections between Dusty Baker
and Brian Snitker. I could care less about that.
So he's so hard his heart right now.
Look at this.
So,
do you see this?
I love it. I told you if I could live anywhere, it'd be L.A. I told you that. I love it.
So are the Braves back then, like, are they back to those 90s Braves? Is there a crime dog on this brain roster
because there's no Glavin, Avery, Smoltz, Rocker.
Are they
a one shot deal?
I don't want to, we can talk John Rocker.
I mean, the NL East is a weak division, so I don't know that the Braves won't be back there next year. You know, they have decent pitching. It's not the Brewers pitching. You know, I like the top three with the Brewers, and they have the back end of that rotation with Williams when he comes back after punching a wall, and Josh Hader is just ridiculous. Hader's a beast.
Let me ask you though, because you had said something, and I would love to get in this conversation with it and hear your point of view, because I do believe it's biased because you are about baseball and I'm biased because I'm about football. Do you believe that baseball is still part of America's pastime?
Yes, I think there is a ridiculous amount of popularity when it comes to football, and I get it. Yes. There's only 16 games in football.
17,
there's 100. I'm sorry, I apologize. 17 games in football. There's 162 in baseball. So to have an attention span over the course of a whole season for baseball is tough. Football's a passionate sport. It's a sport where it's appointment television. You're going to, you know, make sure that you're watching that game.
I like that, appointment television.
But baseball is a little bit different. I think if you think baseball is boring, you're not. It's because you're not smart. Not you. I'm just saying in general.
Talk to him. I
think
Joe played baseball, so he's loving this. He's here's what he said. Yeah, tell him stupid. Tell him how stupid he is.
I think especially in the National League, baseball is a thinking person's game. I don't want the DH in both leagues. I think it cheapens the sport. I love football. I'm a Denver Broncos fan. I haven't had a team to cheer for, and I cannot believe they traded Von Miller. I understand, but I don't like it. I love football, but I just think they're two totally different types of sports. And here's my thing about football that I don't like. Everybody gets into the Hall of Fame. Not everybody gets into the Hall of Fame with baseball. I think too many people get into the Hall of Fame in football.
Timeout and a technical. Not everybody gets in the Hall of Fame.
a lot of people that probably shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame get into the Hall of Fame.
We have a class of 2022 finalist Steve Smith right
now. I'm up this year, so I'm not gonna put my foot in my mouth.
Yeah, don't put
We're not
foot
stepping
in
on
mouth.
A white line right now. I'm not jinxing anything.
You had an amazing career. There's a career that belongs in the Hall of Fame. There are certain careers and off the field crap that doesn't belong in the Hall of Fame. And baseball has more of like a
standard.
Perhaps a character clause. I would like to stay employed, so I'll just yeah.
I know I agree what you're saying. I agree with you're saying. I
think there's some Hall of Fames that, like, basketball's Hall of Fame is like soup. I would say that's the one that's easy to get into. You know, you don't have to win championships. Like, some of the people they've thrown a Hall of Fame really quick, like first ballots. It's people that, you know, that's more one I would say that's a lot easier than football.
The reason I guess I asked about the pastime is because, you know, a lot of now where we are is about ratings, right? And about how many eyeballs are watching.
Football crushes it. Yeah. No question. But I think how much do you believe that's gambling on it too?
I think gambling has increased, right? Increased in the last couple of years. But you look at it, some of the players don't like Thursday night, some of the players do. But when you look at the holidays and you look at how things are going, Thanksgiving now has become one of those things. How many
38.6 million
where there was like 17.5 that watched game 7 of the World Series.
Yeah.
Right? Which brings more advertising dollars to whoever has more, because whoever has the most eyeballs, people believe will.
But I think your question was, do I believe it's still part
Absolutely.
Of America's pastime versus the question is it the most profitable sport? Mm. It's not. Baseball is profitable, but the NFL, and I love how the NFL claims it's a nonprofit organization.
No, they lost their part of the lockout thing is they lost their 501(c) status, so they're no longer. Which means,
oh, look at him!
Yeah,
look at
Smitty. I used to be a player rep.
Oh, good! I love that.
So I know all about that, and in the lockout, that was one of the things that they lost. When the subpoenas and all that stuff, where they went before, when we went before Congress and had some of those conversations. Right, they lost, I believe it was that 2010, 2008, when the lockout started, conversations started happening, that was brought to the forefront. And because of that, all 32 teams were no longer part of that. They started fragmenting off and becoming, the Panthers, Carolina Panthers, LLC, the Baltimore Ravens, okay. LLC. So they became LLCs and became those 1099s, W9s versus the 501(c)s, because they were getting a little bit told on that you're a billion-dollar company with a 501(c) status, a nonprofit, but you're making all this money. Right. So they lost that status. So, but yeah, a lot of people didn't know that. So kudos to you for that.
Thank you for schooling me on that. I love football. Baseball's given me an unbelievable livelihood, so I'm obviously biased and partial to that, because I didn't even. When I received my first baseball job back in 2007, covering the Colorado Rockies, I knew the basics. I knew very little. I had to absolutely learn everything. And now I can't imagine my life without it. So, I'm pretty partial to it.
I punched Todd Helton the side of the head in a fight one time.
What? Why?
Did he hit you back? Is the question.
I
went to Long Beach at first, and I may or may not have had some academic fraud.
Dry snitching on yourself.
We don't need to get into that part. So I had to transfer.
You got to learn the snitching code. Don't dry snitch on yourself.
I had to transfer to an NAIA school in Tennessee because, back then age was everything. If you transferred D1, you had to sit out, and I just didn't want to. So I went to a small school in Tennessee called Cumberland University, which was the destination for every D1 dropout across the U.S. We were stacked. We had guys from University of New Orleans. So we're playing Tennessee when
Did you just try to say it was a whole bunch of brothers on the team? Is that what you just said?
So, Alan and I continue this conversation. So that's when they had Moziello, and they had.
Go ahead.
So Helton was on that squad. And they came in like ranked 5th in the nation to play us at our yard, and they were just dogging our field because they were the big shots. They had R.A. Dickey, they had all those guys on the team.
Yeah.
And so we beat them 2-1. Play at the plate, called them out, we win. So they start running their mouth. So they start shoving. So our catcher, who's now a cross checker with the Rockies, who actually is the one that found Walker Buehler. So his name's Scott Corman. He was my catcher.
Okay.
So he was locked up with Helton, and Helton said something about he just signed for whatever million. And I came running, and I hit him as hard as I could hit him in the side of the head. And it worked. He didn't get up, but, like, yeah, it was a full-on melee. So
wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Absolutely.
It was a melee, but he didn't get up?
I mean, I hit him and kept going. Like, I wasn't going to stand over the top of him. You got to hit somebody
else. You ain't hit him with the smoky, huh?
No.
You got knocked.
You got knocked.
Right. No, I didn't hit him with that.
In baseball,
greatest movie ever.
You can't be No. Strike a pose because they're clearing the bench.
Yeah, we don't have a helmet on. So you're going to get hit. One way or another, you're going to get hit.
Someone's going to dub your ass back.
I want to go back to what you said about America's pastime. I agree with you. It is. Baseball's done such a great job of making adjustments to draw in the younger viewer, you know, from the seven inning and a doubleheader to starting a man on second, in extra innings. You know, you always go back to the purists of baseball. You've been around a long time. I've been around a long time. How does that make you feel? What there's part of you that says we're making adjustments to make the game better, but then you go to the old school baseball, grind it out. How do you feel about those changes?
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough to have a balance with it because I do see the importance, especially, you know, being in television and always wanting to draw that audience and those eyeballs and the interest and keep it fresh and exciting. It's like, I do understand the need based on the way that the world is. If we want to attract the younger viewer, you're going to have to speed the game up. You're going to have to make it interesting. I'm not a huge fan of the strikeout or home run. I do believe there's importance and value in putting the ball in play, moving a guy over, learning how to bunt, going the opposite way, using the entire field. I think that's important. But these 4.5-hour games are crazy. And I understand, you know, them wanting to put a DH in the National League to maybe speed up the game, but you're also jeopardizing, you know, people's jobs. There's fewer opportunities in the one way you look at it. I think there's an importance of recognizing places where there is added value in change, but I don't mind starting a man on second and extra innings, because at a certain point I want to get the heck out of there.
Yeah.
But I don't think that it's something that should be done in the postseason. I think, that once you get to the playoffs,
let the old school baseball
all of that
come back.
Stuff, old school needs to be back. And this whole thing too with the opener, you know, and not letting guys go deep into the game, and you get one man on base and people start freaking out and there's all these short hooks. And if you look back at 2020, you could argue that, you know, Kevin Cash's decision to pull Blake Snell won the World Series for the Dodgers.
I would agree with that.
I love Cut to It, and I love it even more when you download us and subscribe.
And you can follow us on social media too, Smitty.
Where at?
That's at Cut to It on Instagram.
What about Twitter?
At Cut to It.
Facebook?
Cut to It featuring Steve Smith Sr.
What about online?
And you can follow us at cuttoitpodcast.com, where you can buy merch and you can subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts.
I got all my answers I got all my questions answered.
That's what I'm here for, brother. CutToItPodcast.com.
Hey, everybody. This is Carrie Champion, and I'm here to announce that the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards on April 27th. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with your Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and have it shared with the Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit, Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event you want to be at. You don't want to miss it, because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill in your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
AT&T Connects and Ode to Podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
My son, my 16-year-old son used to play baseball, right, when he was younger. Hell of an athlete, right? Looking at his gene pool, right? And the thing that was extremely interesting is as he played baseball, my son is a beanpole. He's 6'1 now. Maybe 130 pounds, 115 pounds. That's like after Thanksgiving, right? So that's the heaviest he's going to be, right, as of right now. But he was fast. But the craziest part is he was a placement hitter. He can place the ball. Mm-hmm. But yet, you know, in Little League and in middle school, you can have guys come in and out. You know, you can have them bat. Maybe they weren't in field and all that stuff and substitute and they can come back in. But one of the things I noticed was he was not valued with his athleticism on the baseball team because he couldn't bring in runs. And because of that and because of him wanting to play baseball, we started to go to baseball games. I started to pay attention. And when I started to pay attention, one of his teams was Bryce Harper. So we go down to Philly and watch a game. And I watched when Bryce first got there, all that money, they would switch the field and the dude would get out. You got all this money. They switch the field and he hits it right there. What I'm getting to is why are home runs overvalued?
Because they're exciting. Yeah. Because people want to see the ball go over the fence. People don't want the younger generation.
It goes out to that younger crowd. It goes right back into
to Joe's point earlier. It's like the purists want you to move a guy over. They value the style of game that your son presents. The newer generation wants to see you smash a ball 479
which
feet
I understand
over the wall. Yeah, I mean, there's value, there's excitement in that too, yes. But that whole mentality of if you strike out, can you imagine Tony Gwynn in today's game? Struck out.
So here's the thing. I grew up not really, I played baseball. I thought it was boring for me because I was a kid with ADHD and I was always going, right? I'm an adult where my mind is always going. I have two switches, on, and off, which is sleep. When I'm off, I'm sleep. And I go. My wife calls me a professional sleeper, right? I could be on a 45-minute flight or a 14-hour flight. Brother going to get his snoozes in, right? That's just me. That's how I am. But then there was, you know, I remember watching growing up in L.A., and my dad, I'm a Dodgers fan, and my dad was a Oakland A's fan. And I remember Ricky Henderson, right? I remember stealing all those bases. I remember growing up in L.A. and my mom and dad went to Locke High School and Eddie Murray, Daryl Strawberry, right? And then there's this guy who used to do this backflip right before he used to go out with the Cardinals, Ozzie Smith, right? Ichiro. 28 years, right? Him playing baseball, him being able to place the ball. Last time I checked, if a man could play 28 years in baseball, professionally, he might be doing some things right. And I've seen some games, the Tokyo Swallows. I went to a game out there and watching how they hit the ball in placement and it can be a 10 to 13 game. For me as a consumer, going to Tokyo and seeing those games and seeing how they were placing the ball constantly, like you went to go grab something, he came back. Man, 7 runs would be scored.
You know what my opinion is on that? I believe, and this is just my opinion.
That's why you're on here.
I believe sabermetrics have ruined the game. I believe there's a place in...
Go deeper on that.
There's a place for analytics, right? There's a place for statistics. There's a
place to... In every sport, you got to know.
...incorporate that. But I do think we don't value the eye test enough. I don't believe we value playing the hot hand. And if for example, and I know the Dodgers well, so I'll just make this up. If Cody Bellinger can't hit that, you know, that high fastball at his eyes, but he's playing really well this week, let him keep him in there. You know, I think there's too much focus on matchups and numbers. And again, over a pretty large sample size, I can see that there's value in that. But constantly moving stuff around. I mean, you know, as a player, how important being comfortable and having that communication from your coaches, whether, you know, it's the head coach or a wide receivers coach, running backs coach, whatever it is, to know where you're going to be and how you go about your day. And I think, especially in baseball with 162 games, if you don't know where you're going to play in the lineup that day, or you don't know, you know, if you're going to play, there's a place and a marriage for both. I think we're overanalyzing stuff. There's too much information.
Making it overcomplicated.
Statistics in baseball is super overwhelming.
Well, and it's not even so much statistics like she was saying. It's the analytics. It's the shift you were talking about. The reason why Bryce Harper got out is because 86.3% of the time against a pitcher with a right hand who's 6'3",
so we're going to shift the defense over here.
He's going to hit it over there. Yeah. So the analytics is tough, and from a baseball purist mind, the shift is I mean, they're even shifting with people on base now, which is obscene to me. And I go back I'm sorry. Go right ahead.
No. And just ask Clayton Kershaw how much he likes the shift.
Well,
ask
him. I'm sure he hates it. So
he hates it.
You know, I wasn't very good, but I pitched as well too from the left side. And I had some success, and like you think about the success you had, and then there was no shift. And I go to Maddox. I went to high school with Greg Maddox. He might not have got drafted today. I mean, he maybe threw 86, 87 if he was lucky. There's no way they'd even look at him because it's all about the gun now. If you're not throwing 92, 95, 98, it really, really doesn't matter at all what you do, because getting people out isn't really where it's at anymore. It's what are you doing on that gun, and what are you doing on your spin rate and your velo and then exit velocity and everything else. It's all
launch
about
angle.
That's all the stuff that's when you get into that kind of analytics. That's just
well, it's crazy. It's really crazy. There's been managers, and I'm sure not to name anybody, that have been fired because they went with their gut and they didn't go with the analytics.
They didn't go with the probability.
Yeah, correct. and that's the thing you love about baseball. There's so many different ways to play things in baseball.
So my question is it about the wins or losses, or is it about the strategy? Because if you got a horrible strategy and you don't win, you're going to get fired faster. But if you go with the probabilities and analytics and you still don't win, don't you still get fired? And I'm not trying to be an idiot. Because what I'm hearing you say, what I heard you say in a football mind, which is why some folks going to get fired, you know, in Chicago and some of these other places, because they have a great system. They got good analytics, but they ain't put no points on the board. So you can be the smartest guy in the room, but if you got more L's than W's, then what is it about then? And I'm just trying to get it, because I've on this side of the football field now, I see so many coaches who are the smartest people in the room, who have all the answers, and who get players who don't even get the players anymore that can fit, you know, fit the scheme and get, they just have a scheme in which these square pegs are going to fit through this round hole, and then it doesn't work. And then, you know, 2 or 3 years, like here in Carolina, where you're going to fire the offense coordinator because his system isn't good, but yet possibly some of your quarterback play has some deficiencies because you're trying to implement your system without really knowing the deficiencies of your players.
I think that's such a key point. I think there's so many times that we have guys running teams now that have never played the game.
You got a calculator.
I know. Yep. They're not to disrespect their education, their pedigree, everything, but you can't tell me that you're going to teach these guys how to catch on one knee when there's a man on third, a ball gets by him, that guy on third's going to score. And this is, you know, these types of catching gurus that they have never not even caught in T-ball.
Yeah, they got a Texas instrument. They got a Texas instrument, and so they are a general manager.
Yep. It's frustrating. And I think that there's so much, you know, there's so many people now with the Ivy League degrees and this type of stuff that doesn't know what it feels like to be a player in that locker room in football or a player in the clubhouse in baseball. Doesn't know what it's like to do that daily grind of 162 games. And, you know, you just, some days you just lose you lose your feel at the plate. And I don't know. It is at the end of the day, it's about wins and losses, certainly more in football than in baseball over the course of a season. But look at the Dodgers, 106 wins. The Giants had 107 wins, and then they had to play each other. You know, and you win 106 wins and you got
a playing game wild card.
It was interesting what you just said. It made me think, and you probably haven't noticed it, but that's why there are very few former players in high-ranking positions with teams. Yep. Because what you're talking about, as a player, I'm going, man, that's great. Like, we had one time a guy stand in front of the team. He was an analytic guy. He was standing in front of the team. He said, hey, in the third quarter, in your first possession, if you don't convert the third down into a first down, your probability of winning that game decreases by 25%.
Oh, great. Well, let's just give up then.
I got a better response for you. I said, really? No, Sherlock. You know why? Because there's only two damn quarters left and you're running out of time. So let's call a play that's not called a screen on 3rd and 10. Let's call a play that'll get us the first down so we can keep the ball and play keep away. And that's why you don't have a lot of players, because former players get frustrated because they have a guy who, what you said was interesting. I love what you said, and it set me up. These guys go to Ivy League, but when you go to Ivy League, they don't play freaking sports. These Ivy League teams don't have really good teams because they're all in the classroom.
And not for nothing, you have to know what it's like to be in that person's shoes. You have to know what it's like to be in that clubhouse and go through that grind. Mm-hmm. And you cannot simulate game time.
Nope. No matter how much you practice.
I don't care how many times you practice. I don't care how much you take BP. I don't care. The timing is just different. You can't simulate game time. And again, there's value in the knowledge, and there's value in disseminating the knowledge to your players in the way that they can understand it, because everybody learns differently. But to take out the feel and the personal part of the game, I think is a huge disservice to the players and to the fans.
So last question before we get off of this, and this has been educational. I love it. Do you believe there will be the Tony Gwynns, the Ichiros, the Ozzie Smiths that ever come back that are allowed to kind of play the baseball game in which we all, whether you like baseball or not, you admired their athleticism. You admired their how they harnessed their craft and learned how to play the game as a person, not just as a Texas Instrument with analytics and numbers and, you know, shifting, all that stuff, where it's just like reacting and athleticism and, you know, making that double play and all those unspoken rules that now seem to be going away, because now it's all about home runs and your gold chains and what you look like and all that other stuff that no longer exists anymore.
Yeah, I think that if you want to get paid, I mean, the way that the game is going is that you better have power, or you better be able to, you know, really be a tremendous defender. I don't think people value small ball anymore. I guess it depends on what you want. I mean, yeah. I think catchers make the best managers because they are like, you know, the quarterback of the team. They're the only person involved in every single play. Hopefully, you know, some of these former players will get into management, but the problem is you're not really managing anymore as the skipper. You're kind of the puppet, yep. You know, and it's the front offices that are kind of managing and putting in the lineups, not for every team.
But for a few, large, that's crazy.
That's a lot. That happens a lot where it's, you know, more of the guy on the computer saying like, well, this is who matches up well. This is where we're going to put this person in the lineup today. You know, it's an interesting dynamic. I mean, I think there's a lot of good in our game. I do miss the Ozzie Smiths of the world and the Ricky Hendersons of the world. Mm. And, you know, when a guy came into the game, you knew it was game over. You know, the days of complete games and God forbid a complete game shutout, that's over.
Never.
I mean, now you get two guys on base and you're out. They don't let people work through adversity anymore.
With that said, who do you think are those players that would change the game or ripe for change in the next 10 years?
I mean, I love the Buster Posey's of the world. You know, Freddie Freeman's of the world. I mean, obviously Buster just retired and Atlanta better bring Freddie back or that city's going to burn to the ground.
Absolutely.
You know, I love guys that still have that, the Bryce Harpers. I mean, people that, you know, and younger kids too, that we may not know very well yet, but Juan Soto, watch Juan Soto's at bats
and see how
patient he is and how the command he has of the strike zone at such a young age is really impressive. Mm. Those types of guys, you know, and I love the guys that are really good players, but have flair. I think that's important. If you want to attract the younger generation, you have to have the Fernando Tatis Juniors of the world. Mm-hmm. You have to have the Wander Francos of the world and the Ozzie Albies and, you know, Acuñas of the world too. Yeah. So, I like the old school style of baseball, but I also understand from a marketing perspective and the younger generations coming up, I understand the need for a little bit of flair.
Back in the day, that bat flip gets you hit next time. Right?
It
definitely gets you hit.
You are a unique person. You are well worth it. You are competent. And most of all, you're lovable. I'm Steve Smith, Sr.
I'm Gerard Littlejohn.
And this is Cut To It.
Cut To It with Steve Smith, Sr. That is me. Is a production of Cut To It, LLC, Balto Creative Media, The Black Effect, and iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
From Cut To It, executive producer Steve Smith Sr., co-host Gerard Littlejohn, talent and booking manager Joe Fushi, social media team Wesley Robinson and John Cho. From Balto Creative Media, Cut To It is produced by Brian Baltashevich and Meredith Carter, with production assistance by Alex Labreck, production coordinator Taylor Robinson. Theme music by Alex Johnson, lyrics and vocals by Anthony Hamilton.
If you ain't heard about it, then we're about to let you know.
Cause you know it's on.
It's on.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
AT&T Connects and Ode to Podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.